It's a joy to be with you again today and have a chance to bring a lesson from God's Word and encourage you to have your Bibles out and follow along. It's another one of the series is on the abundant life that I have done. And there's a few lessons and we'll want to start in John 10 if you want to open your Bibles. Appreciate the prayers and the good songs and the comments, and the Lord's Supper is truly appreciative. Appreciate your prayers on behalf of me and our family. I was thinking, I guess it's one of the greatest joys that I've had in life is to have kids. And I guess the second joy is to have grandkids now. It's something that's a new experience for me. And obviously, we live a long ways from them. And so looking forward to seeing my one-year-old grandson. And I hear he's talking and chattering a little bit. And Debbie, I don't know the exact words, quote, but basically he's going to be a lot of fun. He's able to play and do those kind of things that little children do. It's been almost 20 years since I've had that in my life. And Rachel and Ruth and Jennifer have grown now, and we don't play with toys anymore. But roll around the floor, those kind of things. But looking forward to the trip. I am leaving tonight. I'm headed out of here. I'm going to go ahead and worship with the brethren. Caddysville tonight. So looking forward to that. Every once in a while, I'll get to visit with different churches, and that's always good. I enjoy that. And I'll be flying out tonight. I'll be doing the all-nighter as well. Since Debbie done it, I guess I'm going to try it too, see how that goes. We may never do that again. But I think I can sleep. She's not one that can sleep anywhere. I can sleep anywhere. So that being said, I appreciate your prayers for us in particular, and obviously always with our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially as we talk about, and that's what our lesson's about today. One of the great blessings we have is that we can go to our God, our Creator, and in prayer, and basically talk to Him and tell Him our needs, our desires, our worries, our concerns. And not only that we can do that, but that He will listen to us. He hears us. And that's what I want to really go back through this lesson today about is about how the power of prayer, basically. And as an introduction for this lesson, as opposed to the other ones, I haven't given this detailed an introduction because I hadn't studied it in that detail. But you remember, we looked at John 10 already, didn't we? In John 10, the abundant life. And in that lesson, we talked about how it's introduced with chapter 9, where Jesus heals the blind man. The blind man is eventually cast out by the Pharisees and rejected by the Pharisees. Jesus, in following up on this, after the blind man confesses his faith in Jesus, is cast out by the Pharisees, Jesus gives these three parables that we talked about. I am the shepherd, I am the door, and I am the good shepherd. And Jesus is basically saying, blind man and all you other people who saw this happen, I am the one shepherd. Don't worry about these Pharisees. Don't worry about the leaders of the Jews. They are not the shepherd. Jesus says, I am the shepherd. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And he also says that all others are thieves and are wolves. And really, but the distinction between his kingdom and the kingdom of the Jews, the worship and their livelihood was all for every Jew of that day was all centered upon the Pharisees and how to worship God and how they instructed them to worship God, along with the scribes. The Pharisees had control over the temple and they could cast men out, as they did, I believe, the blind man, as we said. The Pharisees and the scribes were the thieves and the wolves in these parables, and Jesus was the shepherd. And so we see that Jesus offers, and through these parables, abundant life. He says in verse 10 of chapter 10, the thief does not come but to steal and to destroy and to kill. Jesus said, though, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So those that will follow Jesus, those that will follow the true shepherd, those that will come through the door, which is Jesus, he offers them life and he offers it abundantly. And obviously we see certainly that is eternal life that is offered. But how do we have this life? And we've already talked about this abundant life. These lessons we've studied over time. Jesus has given us assurance. He's prepared us for success. We are victors. We see all these allow us to live an abundant life. We have a hope of reward with Him forever in heaven. All these things allow us to live an abundant life. And now we're going to talk about the power of prayer. How can we have an abundant life through Jesus? How can we live abundantly through Jesus? And it's focused upon the power of prayer. Because really, without these things, is our life truly abundant here? And it's probably the appropriate thing to say. And so with these lessons, as you've noted, I've kind of gone off and picked topics that meet what I believe to fit the abundant life scenario. How does Jesus provide abundant life? And he and God allows us and provides us with prayer, and not just a prayer, but the power of prayer in what we say. So let's look through and talk about prayer and what it means in life. And my first thought as we talk about prayer is, first of all, and this is probably somewhat of a basic lesson. I think it's all for us, good for us to remember. There might be something that provokes your mind that you hadn't thought of before. Maybe not as much, though, in this lesson. But it's good to look at these things, remind ourselves of these things. God will hear our prayer. God, our Creator, the man who sits at the top of the food chain, as you will hear our prayer. Have you ever thought about sending a letter in to the governor? How about the mayor? The mayor might listen to me. The mayor might read your letter, mightn't he? How about the governor of state? There's a lot of people in Idaho. I don't know if he'd read our letter, would he? How about the president of the United States? Your congressman might not even. Your congressman, they've all got employees. Some of their employees would read them anyways. God, our Creator, the most powerful and the supreme being in the world, hears and listens to every one of us. There's power in that. He will hear our prayer. Our governor and our senator, our congressman and our president may never even hear or acknowledge us in life. God acknowledges every one of us. That idea is brought up in a couple of places I'd like to look at with us. You'll follow along if you'd like. In 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Well, there's a key passage, I believe, here as we talk about prayer and God and His response to prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He looks for us. He looks out for us. He sees us. He is acknowledging our presence. He realizes and sees what's going on in our life. He acknowledges us in life. He is concerned about us in life. He is aware of us. We're not just one of millions out here, just like the president. Look, and he gets one letter from somebody from Idaho. He really probably doesn't care. He can care less about us in Idaho. He's not going to say that, but in reality, we're just one of 300 something million people. Who am I? That's not our God. We may be one of billions, but God sees us. God knows us. God will hear our prayer. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to the prayer, as it says here. And then, of course, being the fact that His face is against those who do evil is noted there as well. He does not hear. Have a note here that He has muted those out that do evil. He does not acknowledge or hear them. He hears us. He hears His children. He hears us. It's also brought out, I think, in the persistent widow. We're going to talk about this one a few times as well. Both of these passages are going to reference several times as we talk about different points that are made in Scripture about prayer. And Luke chapter 18, the persistent widow, a great example of what God wants of us in prayer. So in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8, God will hear our prayer. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. Jesus is giving a parable here, the persistent widow, as we're probably familiar with. Verse 1 says, "And he spake a parable unto them unto this end, that men ought always to pray and to faint not, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge also his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man is come, Shall he find faith on the earth? And so we see the parable of the persistent widow. In the very first one, the reason he gave this, that men ought always to pray and to faint not. And the fact that this widow's going to this judge, and he says, avenge me of my adversary. I've got this problem. This person's taken advantage of me. This person's done me wrong. This son's done this. Because of her persistence, the judge responds to her. How much more shall the God who loves his children avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him? Though he wants to hear from us. He wants us to talk to him. He will hear our prayer, as is noted here in this passage. He will hear our prayer. Also in 2 Corinthians, another passage we'll talk about a couple of times, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, a familiar one as well, about Paul. Here Paul has got his thorn in the flesh. He's got the problem he's dealing with that he needs help with, he wants help with. And so he petitions God for it. God heard Paul's prayer. In chapter 12, verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, though the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. More gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's name, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong. So we see Paul praying for his thorn in the flesh. God wants to hear from us. Paul petitioned him, and God answered him. But God will hear our prayer. Notice Jesus responded directly to him here in verse 9. And Jesus said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Jesus responded. God will hear our prayer. He heard Paul's prayer. Not only that, some of these may be somewhat obvious to say. I've kind of maybe made this point already. God wants to hear from us. Philippians 4, a passage we haven't turned to yet. Another good passage, one of the key passages of my lesson. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He wants to hear from us. Paul says to them, don't be anxious over anything, but pray to God. Let your requests be made known unto God. Paul taught them to talk to God. Let God know. God wants to hear from you. Let God know about it. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't stress over it. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts. Let God know. But God wants to hear from you. I think we could say that about that passage. He definitely comes right out and says it in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, he actually says that. Jesus speaking here, he says outright, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For part of that is prayer. Ask and it will be given. Ask. That's prayer. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and him that knocks is open. Or what man is there of you whom his son asks bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish will give him a serpent? If you then being evil or worldly, know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever you men do unto you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Ask, and it shall be given. Pray to God, it shall be given to you. God wants to hear from us. Jesus comes right out and says it here. Jesus comes right out and says it. Ask, and it shall be given. Pray to God. Let him know your cares and concern. Reveal what your troubles are, what's anxious for you, what caused you to be anxious in life, what caused you difficulty in life with Paul is in 2 Corinthians. God wants to hear from us. He wants us to talk to him. Even though, in reality, God knows everything. God knows what's going on in our life. God knows what our troubles and trials are. He knows what our weaknesses and strengths are. He's not naive about these things, but he still wants to hear from us. He still wants us to talk to him, and prayer is that avenue that he's given to us to talk to him. Remember, he sees and knows our needs. That's one of the thoughts here in 1 Peter chapter 3. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He is aware of us. He sees us. He knows us. Keep in mind, this is our Creator, the all-supreme power in this world. He knows all these things. He knows what our weaknesses are. And of course, we've read 1 Peter 3 already. Another key passage, I think, on prayer is Matthew 10:28. Consoling his disciples there in Matthew chapter 10. If you're still open in Matthew, you can turn along and read with me there. Matthew 10, starting at verse 28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, which is God. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before man, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. So we see there the hairs of our head are numbered. He sees and knows us. It's not that these things are hidden from him. These things are not hidden from God. He knows. But yet, to our previous point, he does want to hear from us. He knows these things. He sees these things. He's not naive about these things. He knows these things. He's also sympathetic to our needs. We've kind of talked about that a little bit when we talked about a little bit about mercy. And talk about empathy and sympathy are some concepts that exist in Scripture that are attributes of God. In particular, they're assigned to Jesus. I'm going the wrong way in my Bible. This is in Hebrews. The Hebrew writer brings out how Jesus can sympathize and empathize with us. And I took note, as we read Isaiah 53, that very concept, the fact that we studied that last week is fresh on my mind. It came out as we read Isaiah 53 today. Jesus can empathize with us. He can be sympathetic towards us. Isaiah 53:3 says he is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He is acquainted with grief. He's lived just like we live. He is a man of sorrows and acquainted. He is God, but he knows these things. He is familiar with these things. How is he familiar with these things? Hebrews chapter 2 tells us, and I know this is one of my favorite passages. I practically have it memorized, but I still read it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16, for verily he took on not him on the form of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He came like a man, not like an angel. He did not come as a spiritual being. He comes as a physical being. Therefore, in verse 17, it says, therefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of people. Why? Because in all ways he was tempted just like we. Verse 18, for he suffered being tempted. He is able to help those that are tempted. He is sympathetic to us. He can sympathize. Empathy that he can have for us. Jesus, our God, lived just like we live. He is acquainted with sorrow and acquainted with grief, as Isaiah 53 says. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, two chapters over, a similar kind of a restatement, a little different way. We have a high priest, which we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Our Savior lived just like we live. He can empathize with us. He knows what it's like. He has sympathy for us because of those things. Our God is sympathetic to our needs. Our Savior, he shows that through our Savior, what our Savior did and how our Savior lived. And so we see that relationship there and that attribute there. The power of prayer is that God answers prayer. As 1 Peter 3:12 says, we've already read that. God will answer our prayer. In 1 Peter 3:12, his ears are open to their prayers. It means he will listen, he will hear and acknowledge our prayers. He will answer them. James 5, another one of the key passages in Scripture on prayer. In James chapter 5, this one's probably the most powerful statement of prayer as there is in the text because of the example it gives in James chapter 5, starting at verse 15. As we look at God answering prayers, James writes, "The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And then here's the example. The powerful, powerful message that the writer here is getting across. Elijah was a man subject likened to passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. And that's in 1 Kings where that happens. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And so we see there that the power of prayer, God listened to Elijah. God listened to another example. I don't have a scripture referenced here. Hezekiah prayed he'd live another 15 years. God was ready to take him home. Hezekiah prayed that I want to live longer, and God answered that prayer, allowed him to live longer. We also see, and we talked about already, and read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's thorn in the flesh. God answers prayer. I mean, so many times in the world I think, well, this thing hasn't happened, therefore God's not hearing my prayer. But sometimes we might forget, and the world certainly forgets, sometimes the prayer, the answer to the prayer is no. It's not always, he don't always give us everything we want, and we'll talk about that. Sometimes the answer is no, but God answers prayer. Jesus answered Paul. Remember that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 there? My grace is sufficient for you. He answered that prayer. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made complete in weakness. And that's how it says 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient. My strength is made complete in weakness. That was the answer to Paul's prayer. There is power in prayer. And as I made note, sometimes the answer is no. There are reasons for no. And the first thing that comes to my mind when we talk about when the answer is no, is don't forget our God is our Creator. He knows what's best for us. He knows what our needs are. He knows what will make us stronger. He knows what will make us weaker. He knows these things. So first of all, we can have faith and trust that what is answered is no is for a reason. There may be a reason that we don't and can't have the results that we desire, and we certainly should accept those things. But sometimes the answer is no. In James chapter 4, he makes note there. I'm still open to James 5. But James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it in your own lust. There's one of the things the answer is no, if it's just for our own pleasure. It may be that our answer is no. They wanted out of their own lust, they were praying for things. And God says, no, you're not getting it because of that. There are things in this category we just don't need. And God knows that. So sometimes that answer is no. Sometimes we weren't going to get. Sometimes we may not get relief like Paul got or asked for. That's my next point here. Sometimes it may not fit what God wants for us. And that really plays into to 1 John chapter 5. If the Lord wills, we hear this all the time. This is where this is taken from. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 16. We must ask anything, and it's appropriate to say, if it's according to your will. And that's where this comes from, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and through 16, reading there. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us, and whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. And if any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death, but I do not say he shall pray for it. But look at the point in verse 14. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And I think it's appropriate, very appropriate to say, if it be your will, that Paul prayed, remove this thorn of the flesh, if it be thy will. Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. And that's okay. We can ask for things that we really don't want. Remember Balaam? Balaam wanted riches. He wanted to go Numbers 22. Go into that. Remember what happened with the donkey and Balaam, the talking donkey? And there's an angel in the way. Did Balaam get really what he wanted? He thought he wanted these things. And sometimes we can ask for things we really don't want. Balak, I'm sorry, I could not think of his name. But Numbers 22, Balak come to Balaam and wanted Balaam to curse the children of Israel. And God says, if they ask, you go with them. And Balak shows up and Balaam takes off with him. And he misses something there. And verse 22, God's anger was kindled because he went. Balaam wanted something. Balaam didn't want what he got, no, did he? Sometimes the answer is no. Always ask according to his will. Maybe what we're going through and what struggles we have is not is his will. That it strengthens us and makes us more of God, who God wants us to be, prepares us for something in the future. And so answer being no is appropriate and okay. Always pray that if it be your will, if it be thy will, if it be God's will, when we pray and petition our God. The idea of persistence. We talked about the persistent widow, of course. Paul, thorn in the flesh, of course, with the widow, she continually nagged, might be a word you might use, the judge. God looks at that example, and as he gave that example, how much more so a God that loves you, wants to hear from you, that will listen to you. That is our God. Paul's thorn in the flesh, he says specifically three times he went before them. In Hebrews 4:15 says, come boldly before the throne. Come boldly. Don't be timid and scared to ask for the help that you might need. Come boldly. Be persistent. Be persistent in prayer. That's okay. And of course, we know, we've studied the vain repetitions of the time as they spoke to gods, and they would holler from morning to evening and chant a name, and that's not what we're talking about here. Certainly not apply for a persistent, one who is persistent in prayer. So as we look at the power of prayer, truly believe God hears and answers prayer. He will hear us. He knows, he's counted the very hairs on our head. And he sees every sparrow that falls. He knows. He will hear us. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to let him know our desires. Let him know our troubles and what worries us and concerns us. He wants us to talk to him. Even though he knows and sees everything about us and knows what about us, he still wants to hear from us. He is and can be sympathetic. He's not going to mock us and make fun of us and ridicule us and deride us for making mistakes. He will be sympathetic to our needs. He will answer prayer, even though sometimes that prayer answer may be no. Believe that. It helps us to as we walk in this life, at least it does me, to know that God listens and hears prayers. It gives me faith and confidence as I live in this life, to know that God actually sees and recognizes us. It gives us confidence. Truly believe that God will answer our prayers, even though the answer may be no. And don't be afraid to be persistent, but also don't be afraid to know that maybe that's what not God's will, that we do things according to God's will. In all that we do, I think it's appropriate and important to pray for his will. He knows what's best. He knows what will strengthen us. He knows what weaknesses we have. He knows, he can see into the future and know where we're going. Maybe he's preparing us for something down the road we don't know. You know, Jacob was kind of that, or Joseph was that way, wasn't he? He's taken into Egypt. He didn't know what was ahead of him. You think of all, and we're going to talk about that in our lesson as we talk about Joseph in our Sunday morning class. Joseph didn't know in the beginning of why he was in Egypt, why he had to endure the things he endured. That may be in our life as well. God may be preparing us for something. And that maybe can help encourage us to be strong and to stand up and endure the things that we endure. We never know. We don't know what God has in store for us and what we might be able, how we may be able to help in this kingdom. But he wants to hear from us, and prayer does work. And because of prayer, I think, is one reason that Jesus gives us the abundant life and allows us to live life abundantly. Because our Creator is there. He will listen to us. He will acknowledge us, even though we may be one of millions and billions of people in this earth. He will listen to us. He acknowledges that we are there. And that can give us confidence and give us hope. And so we can live that abundant life that Jesus offers. And so if you wish to be a part, participate in this abundant life and begin to live in this abundant life, the first step in that, Jesus says, is to have your sins washed away. Confess his name and be baptized and have your sins washed away. You can begin living the abundant life. Without it, there's no abundant life here. There is a miserable life, a life of misery here. Truly a life of misery without Christ. But with Christ, with being his servants and being his followers, we have many blessings that we can live abundantly. And if you begin to live that abundant life and you followed off the wagon, as it were, you got off the path, we always offer an invitation that you can come and confess that and get things right this very morning. So if you're subject to our gospel's call in any way, won't you come while we stand and sing our song of encouragement?